Welcome to the podcast of Radius Church. This podcast is presented in the context of our Sunday morning service. We hope you enjoy this presentation.
We are just coming off this weekend of hosting the Wyoming State Assemblies of God Men's Conference, and we had a great group of guys, and it was a powerful weekend meeting with Jesus. And we are privileged to have one of the guest speakers here this morning and also this evening, as you just saw. And he's going to emphasize something in our faith that many times seems maybe mystical, seems scary. I know growing up in the mainline denomination I grew up in, we did not talk much about the Holy Spirit. In fact, they called him the Holy Ghost. And I don't know what you think of when you think of a ghost, but, you know, I kind of think of, you know, kind of scary, kind of spooky. And a lot of times the Holy Spirit can seem spooky. And our guest this morning, he goes all across America. This is his job. And he preaches mainly about the Holy Spirit and his role in our life, because it's part of the Trinity. And Jesus said, it is important for me to go to heaven, and then I send you the Spirit, who has an integral role in our faith. And so this morning, I want you to help me in welcoming speaker, author, evangelist, Ty Buckingham to Radius. Give him it up for him this morning. Woo! Bless
you. Awesome. Hey, I am so excited to be here. Man, thank you, pastors, for, you know, just allowing me to be with you guys. And I'm really, really excited for what I believe God is going to do. But I want to kind of, before we get into the word, I want to kind of let you know a little bit about me, just so can we get to know each other. My name is Ty Buckingham. I am from Atlanta, Georgia, and I am married. I've been married for 6 years now. No clapping. That's fine. No, it's fine. You know, it's funny. When I first got married, people were so excited, like standing ovations, thunderous applause. And what I'm learning this morning is that nobody cares. Whatever. No, you had your chance. You hate marriage. Man, you know, I was wondering why there were so many guys this weekend, you know, away from their wives. And now it's starting to make sense to me at this men's conference. I'm kidding. The guys weren't clapping either. So, but, you know, as we've been married for a little bit, we've been asked the question often, as you've been married for all these years, when are you going to start having kids? And for the longest time, we told everybody the same thing. We don't know when we're having kids, but we practice all the time. And so, there we go. But the truth is, we're excited now that the practicing apparently has worked out, and we are now pregnant with our first kiddo. So we're okay, there we go. Okay, so you'll clap for that, but not the marriage. Okay, I'm trying to understand. Oh, my goodness. And so we are super excited. We have our first baby coming up in August, so we are super excited for that. We do not know the gender. We're going to wait till the very end because we need a little more chaos in our life. And so we want some of that. But man, I'm so excited for what's going to happen. And I want to kind of just let you know what's going to happen this morning and then this evening. This evening, we're going to teach on and then give time for prayer specifically of teaching and talking about and praying for healing. The truth is Jesus loves to heal the sick, and he loves to do it through believers. And so we're going to do that tonight. And if you know or you have any issue going on in your body, physically, spiritually, or emotionally, we're going to spend time tonight praying for that, and we will 100% see miracles tonight. And so it's going to be awesome. And then this morning, though, what we're going to do is I'm going to share a couple moments, stories. We're going to go to the Word. And at the end of service, we're going to pray for about 4 minutes. We're going to give God our best 4 minutes this morning at the end of service to pray. At the end, or anywhere in the book of Acts, every time that prayer is mentioned, a supernatural event follows, every single time. And that's how we're going to pray at the end of service. We're going to have some time to pray up at the front for a couple moments. But before we get there, before we really dive in, we need to talk about something very spiritual, and that is our pets. Raise your hand if you have a pet, if you're a pet person. Okay, like everybody in the church. Okay, so for me personally, I feel like there are four main types of pets. And if I don't bring up your category, please, like, no offense, just for me, I feel like there's like four main categories of pets. First being this are people who have dogs. Do we have any dog people in the house? Okay, there we go. A lot of people. So for me, I feel like this is the most normal pet to have. Like when I imagine like the American family, it's like mom, dad, two kids, golden retriever, American flag bandana. Like that is like the most American pet ever. And so a little while ago, me and my wife, we got a puppy, and I remember carrying that puppy into my house, and I just felt more American. Like I just felt like I needed to go and vote for something or buy a gun, whatever you do in Wyoming. I don't know. I'm learning a lot. And so, yeah, they gave away a gun at the event yesterday, and it really blew my mind. And I've never seen that before. But so I feel like that's a pretty normal pet to have. And then the second kind of category of pets are people who have cats. Do we have any cat people in the room? Okay, cool. Basically, what you're saying is I make bad choices. And I get it. Like, I totally get it. I've been there. Like that's part of our testimony in our marriage. Like, God's freed us. Thank God. But I get it. I totally understand. We actually had a pet cat for about a year of our life, and we loved him. He was cool, and he was fun. But eventually, we had to get rid of him because of a medical condition called peeing everywhere. And so, our cat was doing that all the time, too many times. And so, we did the Christ-like thing to do, and we gave our problems to somebody else. And so, we gave someone else our cat, which was great. And so, I feel like that's still a pretty normal pet, though. And then the third category of pets, when I think of pets out of the four categories, the third are these are people who have pet snakes. And if we're honest, if you're here this morning or you're watching online and you have a pet snake, I'm going to be honest with you. You either have or you will do jail time. Like there's no way around it. Like, I wish there was for you, but there just isn't. Like for real. Let's say after a service, pastor said, hey, Ty, come over to my house. And, you know, whatever. We're going to hang out for a little bit. Like, okay, cool, pastor. And then I go to the house, and pastor's like, hey, so just a quick tour. You know, there's the kitchen if you need a drink, or, you know, there's a bathroom if you need it. I'm like, pastor, what's that dimly lit room at the end of the hall? And he's like, oh, don't worry about that. I'm like, no, pastor, you can tell me. And he's like, well, that's where I keep all my pet snakes. I'd be like, oh, pastor's done time. Like, that would be my assumption right there. Because you have to be an intense person to have a pet that could, like, eat you, in your house. The third category of pets are people who have, or the fourth category is this, are people who have pet birds. People who have pet birds. And I want you to think in your mind, what someone who owns a pet bird, like, what do they look like? Like, ask yourself this. Are they the most normal people you know? Like, I don't know about you, but for me personally, I have never met somebody who is normal who has a pet bird. And if you're here, and if you're like, but I have a pet bird, it's wake-up time, okay? For real. So I don't know, but so before I got married, I lived next door to these people who owned these exotic birds, which I learned meant twice as expensive and three times as ugly, and in like 10 times as loud. And so I would walk by, sometimes just kind of doing a walk in the neighborhood, doing whatever, or praying or something. And every time I would walk by their house, these next door neighbors, I mean, I could always hear the birds. I mean, from outside, I could hear them. They were always so loud. And then one day, I just being neighborly, they invited me to their house. And so I came in, just kind of saying hi. And I noticed something different. And it was completely silent. Like, I couldn't hear the birds. And so I thought, wow, praise God, they died. No, but that didn't happen. And so I was like, but where are the birds? Like, where are they? And they said, oh, they point over to the side room where there is a bird cage, which is already a weird thing because birds are made to do one thing, and that is to what? Yeah, to fly. But yet, when we have them as pets, we put them in cages where they can't do what they're made to do, and they just hop around. It looks ridiculous. But I saw this bird cage, and I saw something I'd never seen before. I saw that there was a blanket actually over the cage. I'd never seen this, so I asked my neighbors, hey, what's up with the blanket over the cage? And they said, yeah, if we put a blanket over the cage, it makes the birds completely silent, and it's as if they're not even there. And in this one random moment at a neighbor's house, I had this realization that so many believers, man, so many people treat Holy Spirit like he's actually a bird. Man, so many times what we end up doing is we confine him to a cage of our comfortability. Or worst case scenario is we're hearing his voice, but we don't know what to do with it. So we put a blanket over him and we never hear his voice and we never do what we're meant to do. And so what we're going to do this morning is understand who is Holy Spirit and what is his role in our life. And I also, after service, I have two books available I wrote on Holy Spirit. And there's really two reasons I wrote these books. Number one is to impact your ministry so that you can go deeper in understanding Holy Spirit. The other reason is that I'm having a baby. And so, apparently diapers are expensive. And so, for real, buy all of them. But I want us to go to the Word of God because I don't know about you, but for a long time, when I would think about Holy Spirit, and even if this morning, if I asked you to draw a picture of Holy Spirit on a piece of paper, many of you would draw one of a couple things. Many of you would probably draw a picture of a bird or a dove. Some of you might be a little more Pentecostal, draw some fire. Maybe some of you would do both, which would be like fried chicken or something. I don't know. That joke is terrible, but I always try it. But I used to always wonder, why is it? When I think of Holy Spirit, I think of a bird, a dove. I see church logos with it, paintings of Jesus, a halo, then a dove. And I used to wonder, why is it that when I think of Holy Spirit, I think of a bird? And we actually see this in the Word of God. If you have your Bibles, go to Matthew chapter 3. We'll be there just for a moment. And this is the book of Matthew written by a guy named Matthew. He's writing down his first-hand account of what he's actually seeing. This actually happened. And he ends up seeing this when Jesus is baptized, and it says this: "And when Jesus was baptized, immediately he went up from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God." Now, anytime in the Bible you see Spirit of God, it's talking about Holy Spirit. Same person, just different vernacular, different way of saying his name. My legal name is Tyler, but everyone calls me Ty. Same idea here. "And he saw the Spirit of God," or Holy Spirit, "descending like a dove," or like a bird, "and coming to rest upon him. And behold, a voice from heaven said, 'This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased.'" This voice from heaven is obviously the voice of God the Father. And then we have God the Son, Jesus, getting baptized. And then what we need to understand also is in this moment, we don't just have God the Father, but we also have God the Son, Jesus, and then we also have God the Holy Spirit all together at the same place at the same time. I mean, because the truth is Matthew is writing down, and he's writing down his firsthand account, saying the best way I can represent what I'm telling you is this, is it kind of looked like a bird or like a dove. And the truth is that word "like" is important because it's metaphorical in nature. Matthew is not saying that Holy Spirit is actually a bird. Holy Spirit is God. The truth is, this Holy Spirit is God here on earth living with inside of us to have relationship with us. To have a relationship with us. But the question might be, is why do I need a relationship with Holy Spirit if I already have a relationship with Jesus? Why do I need a relationship with Holy Spirit? And the first reason why is this, is that it is Jesus' plan for you. It is Jesus' plan for you. John 16, verse 7 says this: "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth." This is Jesus talking to all believers. And he says, "It is to your advantage," or "it is better for you, that I, Jesus, go away. For if I do not go, the Helper, Holy Spirit, will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you." From the very beginning, it's always been Jesus' plan that he leaves the earth, ascends to heaven where he is now, and sends us Holy Spirit, this comforter, this best friend, so that we can have a constant relationship with Holy Spirit. And it's been Jesus' plan for all of us. And the other reason is why, the second reason is this: why have relationship with Holy Spirit? It is better than doing life on your own. It's way better than doing life by yourself. So there's this one prayer I have prayed 6 times in my life. The first time I prayed it, I was 15 years old. And the first time I prayed it and I prayed like this. I said, "Jesus, let that girl be my wife. Amen." You laugh, but you've prayed it. And so I prayed that the first time. I got to tell you the story because it's romantic. I was texting this girl because that's the best way to communicate. Not really. And so I texted her. I said, "Hey, girl, do you want to be my girlfriend? Yes or no?" That was the options. 2 choices. Yes or no. She gave me a 3rd option. Didn't know that was allowed. And she said, not yes, not no. She said, sure. which was enough for me. I was 15 years old, and I was like, this is it. Like, this is it. My whole life ahead of me. Like, I knew everything because I'm 15 years old. And so I run to my bathroom for whatever reason, and that's where I prayed. And I put my phone in my pocket, and I said, Jesus, let that girl be my wife. And I had audacious faith, and it was an amazing relationship, ups and downs, mountains and valleys. But 8 minutes later, we break up. That's rude. Your laughing is rude. It was a lot for me, okay? It was a lot for me. I was excited. Great heartbreak happened. But I prayed that prayer, man, the first time when I was 15, and I prayed it five more times over five other different women. And man, I am so glad that God did not answer all of those prayers. Oh my goodness, for a lot of reasons. Because for real, you've seen some of the people you've dated in the past. You've seen their Facebook, and they're all crazy. And I've seen them. Like, the Lord has delivered me. Thank you, Jesus. And so I prayed that again and again and again. And it wasn't working. Like, it didn't work the first time. And then in high school, I kept praying it. Man, in college, it was like a course I took. Every day, I was praying that. Every day. And I would get perpetually frustrated when it wasn't happening. One of the last times I ever prayed it, I was at a season of my life. I would call this season super single season, okay? I was desperately so. And I was in Bible college. I was working on a paper. I was at a Starbucks, you know, just trying to get some stuff done. And I'm just there typing away, and the door opens, and this beautiful woman walks in. And I was desperately single. So I see her. I look down. I say, in the name of Jesus. I'm like, I'll take anything. Please, please, Lord. And I look at her again, and she had a wedding ring on, so that obviously did not work. For real. But I used to get really frustrated because I would pray these prayers that I thought were good, because so many times I was loving Jesus, the girl was loving Jesus, so my assumption was that it has to be Jesus then, which is not the case. And so I prayed that, and I got perpetually frustrated that God wasn't answering my prayers. And maybe there's many of you in the room or watching online, and you're in a place of frustration because it feels like God isn't answering your prayers. But let me tell you, my friend, sometimes God is not answering your prayer because he has a better prayer for you to pray. Man, sometimes I would get so frustrated that God wasn't answering my prayers, but it probably was because God had a better prayer for me to pray. And so eventually I meet this girl named Rebecca, who's now my wife, and I meet her, and as I'm pursuing her in relationship, as we're starting to date, and at the same time I'm pursuing her, I'm also pursuing my relationship with Holy Spirit. My relationship with Holy Spirit did not get on pause because of any other relationship. They're both going at the same time. And as I'm getting to know Rebecca, and as I'm dating Rebecca, and then, you know, having a relationship with Holy Spirit, I feel over time that Holy Spirit speaks to me. Because I'm not doing life on my own, I'm doing life with Holy Spirit, and I can hear his voice, and I can do what his voice says, and it's way better than doing life by myself. And he says to me that Rebecca is the girl you're supposed to marry. Now, I need us to take a time out for just a minute, because if you're here, and you're single, and there's a moment in your life where the Lord speaks to you about your spouse, and you feel the Lord is telling you someone is, you're going to be your spouse, and you're going to marry them, you do not tell them. Because it's super weird. Imagine this. Imagine it's date number two with me and Rebecca, and this is the dinner table. I sit down. She sits down the other side. She's like, hey, Ty, how was your day? And I'm like, oh, my goodness, it was amazing. And she's like, what was so good about your day? And I'm like, well, today I heard from the Lord. And she's like, wow, that's awesome. What did you hear from God from? And I'm like, well, are you in for a treat today? I don't know, I tell you this, but the Lord said, you're going to be my wife. You're welcome. You know, like, I promise you, if I would have done that, she would have gotten up, would have left, and I probably never would have seen her again, because that's weird. And the truth is, my friends, Holy Spirit does not give you permission to be weird. He gives you authority to be normal. He doesn't give you permission to be weird and manipulate. He gives you authority to be normal and to motivate. And so I believe this is, I mean, that I don't want to just do life on my own, begging God to bless my life. I want to step into his blessing because, man, if I follow Holy Spirit's direction and I listen to his directive, I don't have to beg God to bless those choices, because if they come from God, those choices are already blessed. Anything that comes from Holy Spirit is already blessed. And I love that. And so we can have a relationship with him, and he can actually guide us and move us in the direction he's calling us to. And then the third reason is this: why have relationship with Holy Spirit is that it is a miraculous life. It is a miraculous life. And let me say this, Holy Spirit is not for the spiritual elite. Holy Spirit is not just for the pastor or the preacher. Holy Spirit is for every person. And so I love this, that it is a miraculous life. And something interesting is this, is that as you read the Bible, as you read the life and the story of Jesus, there is not one miracle recorded that Jesus does until after he receives Holy Spirit. There isn't one recorded miracle in the Bible until after he himself receives Holy Spirit. So how much more then do me and you need Holy Spirit? Probably a lot. And I do want to speak one thing before we keep going is this is in a room this size, there's probably a lot of different faith backgrounds growing up. And I want to speak to something really quickly is this is maybe some of you at some point in your life have been taught that Holy Spirit's power stopped a long time ago, or Holy Spirit doesn't empower people anymore, or miracles stopped along with the apostles way back when. But I want to tell you, my friends, if someone ever taught you that Holy Spirit stopped, it's because that person never started. It's because that person never started. They're trying to excuse their own lack of personal power. But the truth is Jesus loves to do miracles, and he wants to do them to you and through you. And we're going to pray for some this morning, but we're definitely going to see a lot tonight. But I want to tell you a quick story of time that happened a little while ago where I was outside of the church, and I saw God move in a really unique way. And I want this to be a story, not to make myself look cool, but for you to have an understanding of it, that anybody can do this. Man, that this is everyday life miracle stuff with Holy Spirit. So a while ago, I was going to Walmart, just kind of going in there. And all of a sudden, I'm just going in for a couple toiletries, just a couple things. And I'm walking into Walmart. I'm by myself. And all of a sudden, as I'm walking into Walmart, I feel this nudge. Say the nudge. Yeah, actually do this. To the person next to you, just give them a nudge. Just give them a quick nudge. There we go. And so I feel this nudge from Holy Spirit. And it's not an actual physical nudge. To me, it's like a nudge in the right direction. And I feel Holy Spirit speak to me. Often it comes as a thought, which is why it's really important that me and you have really clean and healthy thought lives. And so he speaks to me, and I feel like this is what he nudged me to do. I feel like Holy Spirit, because I have a relationship with him, he speaks to me this. You can't leave Walmart until you pray for the sick. And my response, if I'm honest, was this. Yes, I can. I do all the time. If I'm honest, because I'm like, I don't know if you've seen me, Jesus. Holy Spirit, I do this all the time. Like, I'm actually pretty good at not praying for people at Walmart. Pretty good at it. But the truth is that man, his way is better than my way. And so I'm like, okay, I'm gonna see this out. And there's two ways I can do this. I can do this as a weird believer, or I can do this as a normal believer. A weird believer would be going based on emotions and just trying to desperately see a miracle and would walk into Walmart and to go to every person and say, can I pray for you? Can I pray for you? Can I pray for you? You look sick. Can I pray for you? Which would be weird and bizarre. And it would take a lot of time. But I decided I want to be a normal believer because Holy Spirit doesn't give us permission to be weird. He gives us authority to be normal. And so I walk into Walmart and I just keep living my life. I'm not looking for a miracle to happen. I'm looking for Jesus. And wherever, so I get my toiletries, I get all my things, and nothing really happens. I'm kind of wrapping up, and nothing is happening. Because here's the thing. I don't have to go and ask every person if they need prayer, because if Holy Spirit speaks to me that I need to pray for someone, I believe this. He's going to tell me who that person is. Because Holy Spirit is not trying to take you on some spiritual scavenger hunt so that you might find him. Holy Spirit wants what you want more than you even want it. He wants you to find him. And so I'm wrapping up, and you might even be wondering, like, but what if you don't actually see somebody? If that's the case, it's totally okay. It's totally normal. There are moments all the time where I feel like I hear from Holy Spirit and it doesn't look the way I think it's supposed to look, which is totally normal. It's totally okay to miss the communication. It's not him trying to trick you. It's just that there are some times in our life where we're not hearing him the best way. And the truth is, when I first got married, I was just trying to understand what my wife was saying. And after a bunch of years, I'm understanding better now what she's saying. Just by how she says hello on the phone, I kind of know how her day is going. But our communication has only grown because of all of the miscommunications of the past. Like, for real, though. Like, man, every conflict is an opportunity to have a better marriage, and it's the same with Holy Spirit. If I miss his voice, it's not that he's saying, oh, I'm never going to talk to you anymore. It's giving a better opportunity to hear him better the next time. And so if you're in a place where you feel like you heard from him one time and you feel like you've been skipping out because you missed it last time, man, there's always a next time. And so this time I ended up hearing him correctly, and I'm wrapping up my shopping, and all of a sudden I feel the nudge again. One more time, nudge the person next to you. Just give him a good nudge. There we go. I feel this nudge, and I feel Holy Spirit speak to me specifically as I'm going from the back of Walmart to the front to check out. And I feel Holy Spirit speak to me this, and he says, hey, in three aisles from now is the person I want you to pray for. And my response was, yeah, right. Like, if I'm totally honest, because that seemed really specific. That seems crazy. But the truth is, with Holy Spirit, he wants to speak specifically to you and specifically about others too. So there's only really a couple ways to know if it's his voice and not just my own thoughts. Number one, is it rooted in the Word of God? Is it rooted in the Word? Because the Word of God is the foundation for all other godly communication. So if I feel like if I hear his voice, I'm going to go back to the word and what I know about the word. And so the word of God says that, man, healing is for today. It's for all that. We're going to talk about more of that tonight. But I know that. And then the other way I'm going to know if it's him is I'm going to find out. So I go aisle number one, there's nobody. Aisle number two, there's nobody. Aisle number three, this is the one it's supposed to be. There's one person. It's a Walmart employee, and it's the cereal aisle. And you're like, who cares? Well, because if God's going to do a miracle at Walmart, he's going to do it in the cereal aisle. It's the best aisle. Like, it's the best one. See, like, I've never seen water turn into wine. Never once. But I have seen milk turn into chocolate milk. Praise God. And so what do? I get the Cocoa Puffs. I put them on my cart. Then I pray for her because they were on sale. I didn't want to forget about it. And so I walk up to the lady. And before I can say anything, she says, hey, is there anything I can help you with? At this point, she's basically begging me to pray for her, I think. Not really. But so I see her, and I want to be a normal believer. And so I say, hey, ma'am, and I think this is a great example for how all of us can pray for people in public. I say, hey, ma'am, this might be really weird. I think God is super real. I'm trying to hear his voice better all the time. I feel like I'm supposed to pray for you. Would that be okay? Would that be okay? Those four words are important because I want to ask permission to pray so I can operate under a better level of authority. Because I want to be a normal believer. Because here's the thing. I don't want to be a weird believer. Because a weird believer has their shopping cart, sees the girl, and says, let's go. In the name of Jesus. And like running after, like, no, thank you. Like, absolutely not. If you did that to me at Walmart, I would lose my mind. Like, no, thanks. But Holy Spirit empowers us to be a normal believer. So I say, hey, man, can I pray for you? She says, yes. And then I feel Holy Spirit nudge me again. And this is what's called a word of knowledge. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, there are 9 gifts of Holy Spirit that Holy Spirit empowers believers to do. And one of them is a word of knowledge, where Holy Spirit will give us information about somebody else to bring them closer to Jesus. It's always loving, edifying, and bringing them closer to him. And so in this moment, I felt this nudge very specifically. And I said exactly what I thought Holy Spirit was telling me. And I said, hey, ma'am, this might be really crazy, but like 3 days ago, were you in a car accident and it hurt your back like really bad? And she looks at me and she says, oh, snap. Say, oh, snap. Not those exact words, but really close. And so she cusses at me. I told a story yesterday. People cuss at me a lot at Walmart. I don't know why when I pray for them, but it happens. And so she cusses at me, but I'm not frustrated by it because I don't expect a non-believer to talk like a believer. So I'm not frustrated. If anything, I'm kind of pumped up. And so she's like, how did you know that? Yes, 3 days ago, I was in a car accident, and I'm in severe pain right now, but I have to work because I need the money. And so the goal in this moment is not for her to see that I know God. The goal is for her to see that God sees her. Because who cares about me? Like, I'm just some random dude praying for her. But in this moment, she's understanding that God sees her and her situation, and that he's all about her. And so I said, like, I asked permission again. Hey, so is it okay if I prayed for you? And she's like, absolutely, which would be crazy if she said no, but it'd be fine. And so I prayed just like this with my hands in my pockets. I said, Jesus, I thank you for my friend. I know she is hurting, but you love her. And you gave your life for her so she can have eternal life with you after she dies. But I also pray that she would have heaven on earth right now as she lives. I pray that you would heal my friend's back in the name of Jesus. And she looks at me and she starts to weep. And I'm like, oh my goodness, I made it worse. Like, I don't know. I've maybe been crying before, but this felt different. And so I said, hey, what's going on? And she moves her back around and she's like, you don't understand. She's like, when you were praying, all of the pain went away. It's as if it's not even there. And in this moment, like this lady went from crazy pain, intolerably so almost, to being randomly, radically healed. Not because of me, but because of Holy Spirit moving through me. And the truth is, this isn't her story or my story. This is a kingdom story that God wants you to be a part in. He wants you to play a part in this. Because I believe this, if we will have a relationship with Holy Spirit, he is calling you to a miraculous life. Not just for you, but for everyone around you. And so I think what's interesting is this. I asked you to nudge the person next to you a couple times, and I saw three nudges in this very room. There were three nudges. Some of you just dug right into each other. Very intense. Chill out. Some of you did just a little tap. That's cute. Whatever. And then some of you didn't do it at all. And I can see you. Like, I have the vantage point. What in the world? But here, I want you to get this if you get anything. The level of nudge that you felt was determined by the level of relationship that you have. Man, the person next to you, if they know you really well, they can nudge you really hard. If my wife was here, she in her pregnant self would come up on this stage and she would probably push me over because she can. I mean, some of you, like, you got dug into really hard, probably because you know that person really well. Or you're sitting next to someone who's super weird. Because it would be really weird for you to sit next to a stranger, like, nudge the person next to you. Let's go. And you nudge, like, that would be weird. It could happen, but it's not normal. And the truth is, it's the same with Holy Spirit. The level of nudge that you will feel from him is determined by the closeness that you have with him. Man, if you're close with him, you're going to feel the nudge. I mean, if you're far away from him, you're probably not going to feel it so much. Because why? Because you're not sitting close enough to him. But the truth is that I feel like this, is the Lord wants to begin and intensify the nudge in your life today. And he does that through a bunch of ways, through the pages of the Word of God, through other people in godly community like this church, and also through prayer, which is what we'll do at the end of service. But what I want to talk about for the last couple moments is this, is how we begin and intensify the nudge of Holy Spirit in our life. Really what this would be called is really this having more than salvation or having the baptism of the Holy Spirit in our life. And this is for all believers. See, the truth is, a Spirit-filled believer is just a normal believer. A Spirit-filled believer is a normal believer. And so Jesus actually gives us this gift of being nudged, being empowered, being baptized in the Holy Spirit. It's all kind of synonymous. In Acts chapter 1, this is after Jesus has been crucified and has risen from the dead. He's kind of wrapping up his ministry, and he speaks this to his disciples. He says, "Go and wait, man, do not leave Jerusalem, but go and wait for the gift my Father promised, which you've heard me speak about." For it says later on, it says, "For John baptized with water, but in a few days you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit." And I love that Jesus calls this a gift. You know, I love this because, man, like, raise your hand if you like gifts. Raise your hand if you like gifts. Okay, most of you. Some of you are like, no, fine, I'm not giving you nothing. Okay? But the truth is, I love gifts because by definition, I don't have to pay for them or beg for them. And the same is true with this. Jesus is saying there is a gift for you of Holy Spirit so that you can have more of him, so you can have these nudges. So even when we pray today, you don't have to beg for the gift that has your name on it. You don't have to beg God for what God already wants to give you. And so he says that there's a gift for you. And then he goes on in Acts 1 verse 8 and he defines what the gift is. And he says, man, the gift that you will receive is this. You will receive power when Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. These are Jesus' last words ever recorded in the Bible. That's how important this is to Jesus. It's the last things that he ever says and before he went to heaven. And the truth is he's defining what this gift is. Man, it is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It is this way to have a nudge more and more intensified in our life. And what the definition really is the baptism of the Holy Spirit is the empowerment to do things so more people may know. Man, it's the empowerment to be a witness. So that when people witness you, they should witness Jesus through you. When they see your marriage, they should witness Jesus. When they see your work ethic, they should witness Jesus. When they see your finances, they should witness Jesus. When they see your parenting, they should witness Jesus. So my quick question is, when people witness you, do they witness Jesus through you? Man, when you pray for others, man, they should witness Jesus through you. And so the last verse we're going to look at is this, is the first time this ever happens. He tells the disciples to go and wait for the gift. The gift is that greater empowerment, that greater nudge we talked about. And then the first time it happens is this. It says, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like a blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the entire house where they were sitting. And tongues divided of fire came upon each one of them and separated on them. And all of them were filled. Say all. Yeah, all of them. Every single person in the room. There's roughly 120 of them in the room. Every single one of them is filled. The disciples who've been with him with Jesus for years, they were filled. People who'd only been believers for just mere moments and days, they were also filled. So it is irregardless of how long you've been with Jesus, he wants you to have the gift of Holy Spirit. He wants you to be nudged in the right direction. It says that all of them were filled with Holy Spirit. And then what happens right then is that then they began to speak in other tongues as Holy Spirit gave them the ability to do so. So they weren't making it up. Holy Spirit wasn't wiggling their tongues around or anything weird like that. They are in full autonomous control as we are as believers. And he empowered us to do so, so that we know that we have received this. Pastor, what is your favorite fruit? Grapes. So let's say pastor said before service, he's like, Taiki, you'll give me some grapes. I'm like, yes, pastor, you are my boss for like 24 hours, and then I leave on Monday. So I will do whatever you say. So I go to the store, I get some grapes, I come back, I hand him the receipt for grapes, and he's like, okay, this says that you got the grapes, this is the receipt, okay, but where are the actual grapes? I'm like, pastor, I just handed it to you. It says I got grapes. Like, why are you stressing about this? And the truth is, as many of us do this, because speaking in tongues is just the receipt of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Man, speaking in tongues is the gift receipt of the gift. Man, our goal this morning is not to speak in tongues, although that'll happen for many of us. The goal this morning is to get more of Holy Spirit than we walked in here with. Our goal isn't the receipt. Our goal is the grapes. Our goal is the actual substance that we can have within us that has seeds that will reproduce all around us. And so that's the truth is, in a moment, we're going to pray, and we're going to experience God in a new light. And so the way we know this, the way that we know we've received these nudges or this baptism of the Holy Spirit is that you will speak in tongues. And then continually, what you will do is you should see people coming to Jesus. You should see people coming to Jesus. Because if you've been empowered to be a witness, people should be witnessing you as Jesus and seeing the things you do like Jesus did, and they should be coming to Jesus. So if I can do this, if I can, my friends in the band just make their way back up at the worship team, I just want us to begin a time of prayer for just a couple minutes. But I want us to do this. If we can all bow our heads and close our eyes in this place. This isn't private, but it is very personal. And so in this place, before we pray for any of this about Holy Spirit, there's one prerequisite. There's one thing we need before we can have this Holy Spirit. We need to give our life to Jesus. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, I want to pray for all of my friends here. And we're going to pray for two things. Man, first off, as people, if you've never given your life to Jesus, or at one point you gave your life to Jesus, but it's been a long road that you're no longer on. And so the first thing is this, if you're here, and you've never given your life to Jesus, the truth is Jesus is all about you. He loves you like crazy. He loves you so much. He came on this earth, lived a perfect life on behalf of you, died on a cross for you in your place for your sin, your shame, all of your guilt. And then he rose from the dead 3 days later, abolishing all of your sin, making the payment for you in your place. And Jesus wants to give you life after you die in heaven, but he also wants to give you heaven here on earth as you live. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, man, for the first group of people here, I'm not going to make you come up to the front or anything like that. I just want to know who I'm praying with this morning. If you're here and you've never given your life to Jesus, or you've never fully dedicated your life to Jesus, if you've never made that decision for Jesus, but you'd say this morning you want to give your life to Jesus for the first time, man, if you're here in the room, would you just raise your hand so I know who I'm praying with? Awesome. Awesome, awesome. All right, you can put your hands down. And the other group of people is this, is maybe at one point in your life, you had given your life to Jesus, but you have been living, instead of for Jesus, you've been living for you, doing life your own way. And it is complicated, it is hurtful, man, it is a mess when we do it by ourselves. But Jesus doesn't want you to be alone. He doesn't want you to do this by yourself. He wants to be with you all the time. So if you're here, and you'd also say, hey, you want to give your life back to Jesus. You'd say you want to not just be 99% in. You want to be all in. You want to give your life back to Jesus with every head bowed and every eye closed in this house. If that's you and you say you want to give your life back to Jesus with every head bowed and every eye closed, would you just raise your hand so I know who I'm praying with this morning? Awesome, 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 awesome. Hands up all over the room. And he's meeting with you. He loves you. He's wooing you right now. He loves you like crazy. He loves you more than you could ever understand. So you can put your hands down. But for both of those groups, I want us to pray, man, as a Radius Church family this morning, all together. Because the word of God is clear. It says this: if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, then you'll be saved. So we're going to pray together this morning, all of us as believers and new believers. I want us to pray this repeating after me. Say, Jesus, I give you my whole life. I know you died and rose again, and you did it all for me. I know you're pursuing me, so I want to pursue you the rest of my life. I give you my whole life. Amen.
You have been listening to the podcast of Radius Church in Casper, Wyoming. For more information, please check us out at radiuschurch.life or call us at 307-265-9121. We hope you've enjoyed this presentation.